Reality Daily Nation, what's happening? It's Naveed, and we're back for Challenge 39, Battle for a New Champion, and it's episode 14, and unfortunately, JB could not join us, so we had to get a replacement. Wyatt, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I gotta say, I'm so excited for Conquest. Really kind of over the champions thing. It was fine, but you know, you guys have talked about the issues with the chaos portion of the game. I'm just excited to see the challengers face the other challengers if they want to be a champion. Although I'm not very excited about how the show went about it.
Yeah, you know what? I think at the beginning of the season, I was like pretty excited to see like how the three phases of the game would shake out. Chaos ad nauseum. We talked about all the bullshit that went down there and all our complaints about how they did the eliminations. So I was pretty excited to see how Conquest would be. And I'm just glad that it's finally here because, in my opinion, the chaos portion was just dragged on for way too long, and it wasn't as satisfying I think we all wanted it to be. So you know what? Let's just get into the episode. So as mentioned, it comes off of elimination where CT destroyed us off. Episode starts. It's like a 24-hour countdown to Conquest, and Wyatt, this pretty much pre-daily, it's pretty much centered around Jay beefing with everyone. Like, he's like beefing with Kylan, he's beefing with like Norris, like Michelle, like Wyatt, like, could you call a wambulance for Jay, please?
Yeah, listen, I think Jay is such a great villain this season because, listen, like, technically Michelle would probably be also classified as a villain, right? Somebody that's in the top, in power, the minority is consistently trying to struggle to get out of, but, like, she doesn't come off as a villain. Like, her confessionals aren't very villainous. Jay's are, and his actions are just, like, egregiously. Don't you just want to punch him in the fucking face? He's 120 pounds, and he's talking tough all the time. He's, like, telling, like, Michelle and Norris, like, hey, I did it. I protected you guys. Throughout this whole episode, you really see like such a villain arc for Jay, and I think this is great. I know that Jay's not the most likable, but I do think this season really needed a narrative of like, this is the person that the consensus of the audience is rooting against. And I feel like until this episode, I didn't feel that way about anybody, but now like I'm ready to see Jay get his comeuppance, and I think that just makes the show so much stronger.
Yeah, there's like some villains on the challenge who you could tell they're kind of playing it up, like their personality. Like, Jay actually believes like what he's saying. Like, when he was like crying and being like, that's my brother that left. He was fighting for his like wife, like the mailman, the delivery man, everyone. It's like come on, Jay. It's just like, I don't know. The whole Kylan fight was just insane. Like, what was your take on the whole, like, do you think Kylan was being petty or anything like that? Or do you think it was just like a misunderstanding?
I wish Kylan was just like open and just said, yeah, like I laughed in the same way that you kept throwing in Melissa, who was also fighting for her child, like just like Aesop was. So I just would have like threw it right in his face. Like, yeah, this guy's thrown me in. He's made my life hell here. I've been to three fucking eliminations because of him. And you know what? Fuck him. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, I wish we had that. Like, you know, I think with Michelle, like, I wish we got the same energy as, like, Michelle, like, with Kylan. Because Michelle, like, flat out told Jay, like, to shut the fuck up. Like, that was some queen moments for Michelle, eh?
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy Michelle this season because, like I said, even though she has, like, the quote-unquote villain arc in terms of being in power, she just doesn't come off that way. She just comes off as a little bit of a straight shooter. So I do think that she's, like, an interesting kind of foil here because, like, I like Michelle. I know that we're Survivor kind of, like, fans at heart, or at least you used to be. But I think that Michelle is, like, you know, kind of barking up the wrong tree a little bit, defending Jay too much.
And I just love the way that she just, like, flat out told, like, Jay to shut up. I just think it's, like, exactly what he needed to hear. And his face when she said that was incredible. Yeah, Jay is pretty much bringing the drama and the entertainment for the beginning part of the episode. Then we move on to the daily, where TJ lets everyone know that's conquest mode for a grand whopping total, Wyatt, of 356,000.
It's so great because, like, you say this sarcastically, but the truth of the matter is like, 10 seasons ago, this would have been, like, more than the average pie. It is just so weird, though, that they were like, hey, like, we're just gonna absolutely crush the pot by, like a third this season. It's so nuts to me because, you know, listen, if you want to do 500K, I guess I'd understand. I like they did for, like, USA and the World Championships. But, like, 350 is, like, listen, in the grand scheme of reality television, it's still more than most shows. Like, other than Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race, I can't think of one that's higher than that. And, you know, if you go international, you're going to feel the same way. So it's still a lot of money. But it's just crazy that they were like, hey, we don't have to pay Banana, CT, and all these legends to show up this season to, like, play the actual game. We don't have to give appearance fees. Let's go ahead and also cut our budget by like a third to the prize pool. Like, and if anything, this should have been the time to like give them like the $1 million so these people like want to come back. Like, 350K, like, it's great, but is that enough money to keep somebody to like quit their job and continuously come back season after season and basically live off the challenge? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think it's a fair amount. I think in previous seasons of the challenge, I always complained that the prize pool was too high, and that's why you had people taking it too seriously, and like we didn't get any drama or people being like messy or whatever. So you know what? I'm open to it. This season, it seems like the cast is a little bit more sloppy and messy. So if that's as a result of people taking it less seriously because of the prize pool is like only 350, I'll take that any day of the week. I actually wouldn't mind this type of change like moving forward.
I don't think it really changes anything though, right? Because if you look at the beginning of the season, you know, we saw it going down to like America versus international, and we saw very little shifts in terms of actual power changes. You know, you might have saw somebody like Mariah or Raven, you know, or even Michelle like flirting with somebody that's on the quote unquote opposite side, but it didn't really change the game. So they're still kind of playing this game very try hard, despite the cut in money. So I kind of think it's more of a reality TV evolution, or, you know, the way that production is talking to them about the show more so than what the prize money is. I actually think more prize money is you're more likely to get these situations where, you know, you have the people turning on Bananas at the end. You have the people, you know, portraying somebody, you know, right close to the final because they think that they're gonna lose, especially if it's winner take all. But I think this, you know, being cut into a third doesn't really change the season, because I think a lot of these people know if they don't make an impact this season, they may not get a call again.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Okay, let's move on. So it's Conquest. It's going to be revealed that the person who gets last is going to be automatically purged from every single daily moving forward. Wyatt, what are your quick thoughts on this?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I hate it more so that we find out later, and I don't want to jump too far, but, you know, the elimination only eliminates one person. So I'm like, I don't know. For me personally, Naveed, I would rather see two people go out in elimination, regardless of how they wanted to format it. I'll leave that discussion for later. But I just don't like the purge because, listen, you saw Mariah talk about it. She says, I'm bad in water. And yeah, like, listen, being in the water is part of the challenge at this point, so you should be good at it. But I just don't like the idea of like one challenge, one daily, I should say, is going to like end your journey here. I really would like it to be through the elimination type thing. And if you're going to do it where it's like one person has to go home, you need to kind of make it like the mini final, where it's like us as the viewer understand that like the person that gets purged isn't going to win anyway, because the challenge resembles what the final would be. But for this, I don't think that you can say that Raven 100% would have lost in a final, because the final only has probably like, you know, 20% swimming at max, right? So it really is unfortunate.
Yeah, I think like we've been saying for a long time that we need something where like the last place of the challenge gets penalized, like others like immediately going into elimination or something like that. But a purge is, I think, a bit too harsh. It really sucks to see like Raven go here, which we'll get to the challenge. But I just think that, like you said, there's some ways you could tweak the elimination to kind of adjust for like having two people go out every single round. Which, by the way, I have my own theories on what could possibly happen for eliminations moving forward. But I'll get to that in a minute. So let's just first get to the challenge. It's going to be Dark Tide. It's three rounds consisting of five people each time. You are like strapped onto this boat, and then you get dropped into the water. You have to swim to like your like paddle boards, and then paddle your way towards shore while grabbing three discs along the way. You throw the discs like towards like a little pole, and if you like land it, your time stops at that point. If you're the last person or like the person with the longest time, you get purged. So first round is gonna be Horacio, who wins it for them. The second round is gonna be Kylan, and the third round is gonna be Ed. And Narissa's side, Horacio, Kylan, all of them, they were like feeling confident until Ed had like the monster performance. And then, but obviously the bottom two is going to be Mariah and Raven. Raven gets purged, which Wyatt, I'm devastated, and Ed wins the challenge. What was there anything that surprised you from like anyone's performance or like the results?
I would probably say the only thing I would think of is Jay. It might have been a little overblown in the confessionals, but like Michelle was like, "Don't you like live in the water? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you shouldn't be like coming up the ass with it." But listen, when you're putting some of these people in this like individual where it doesn't matter if it's man or woman, you know, in this type of thing where you have to battle kind of like the current at night and the waves, I do think this kind of like benefit some of the male competitors. I think that's why we saw, you know, men in the top and women at the bottom here. And that's why I don't love the fact that this is a purge, because regardless of the challenge, it's probably going to benefit either guys or girls. So I would prefer for them just to have said, hey, if you're in the bottom, you just automatically go into elimination. Like you said, you still get that thing where if you know, are bad in the challenges, you still get a punishment. And also what Colleen said in the episode, which is where, you know, people may be throwing these challenges because they don't want the power. Well, now you don't get people throwing it as well because there's still a repercussion that they don't want. I just think the purge is a little bit too much.
Yeah. Speaking of who got Raven, you hate to see it. I was a huge Raven fan this whole entire season. I would love it if she came back. Not only is she hot, Wyatt, but she brings the entertainment, which we all stand for.
Yeah, I mean, she was pretty good on Ride or Dies as well for as little as she was. But this season, I mean, listen, she fought, she hooked up, and she was a scrappy underdog and kind of an elimination queen, you know, defeating Laurel. So I don't think there's a reason not to bring her back. I think that they give her pretty much everything that they would want. And I definitely think that we'll see. I don't know if we'll see her on 40. I think 40, they may go like a legend direction or something. But I definitely think that we will see her back.
Yep. So Ed wins the challenge, and then here it gets kind of revealed that for Conquest, the winner of each challenge has to save one person, which essentially starts a safety chain, which is seen from Big Brother Canada. So for those who haven't seen Big Brother Canada, the idea is that...
Wait. I love how you bring up Big Brother Canada when it literally was also the duel, which is the challenge.
Hey, listen, who remembers the duel, okay? Who cares about the duel? So Big Brother Canada.
A lot of people.
You know, people love
the duel. The duel may be the most beloved format of all time.
It's 2024, okay? That's in the past, okay? So Big Brother Canada, based off of the... Okay, fine. I tried to get away with it, but damn it, why you didn't let me? Okay, so based off the duel, it's making a comeback. It's going to be a safety chain. So you save one person, and then that person saves someone, and then so on and so forth, until you get to only three people remaining, and those three go into elimination. Real quick, Wyatt, are you happy to see this comeback?
I am. I know it kind of like isn't great for the way the game is structured right now. You know, right now we have two sides. And when you do the safety chain, one side is going to win out. So I think it's unfortunate that we have the gameplay that we have right now, because I don't think it's really going to produce the most interesting, you know, television. But I do think that, like, just as a general format for the challenge, I love it.
Yeah, I'm really a big fan. This might be kind of proof that the challenge producers don't rig, at least when it comes to like, the format. It seems like they actually have a structured plan, because I don't think they would have put this twist in had they known about like the way of the like the structure of the house, like who like how like it was being run by pretty much two people. I'm a huge fan. I really love it. I hope, based off like what happens this season, it doesn't like deter them from bringing it back another season. I think it's like a really fun one that like mixes things up and causes people, it causes chaos. So I'm a big fan of it. Now for the post challenge, we're gonna see like people scrambling and just thinking about like what Ed should do and trying to pitch them stuff. I'm just gonna highlight one scene though that was aside from like the Ed strategy talks. We got Mariah and James like full on like cuddling and like just like making out in like the swimming pool, which like how do you think Johnny Bananas is reacting to all this, Wyatt?
Listen, I'm so glad you asked me this, because Jeremy's brought this up in a prior episode, but I am so team Mariah. It's not even funny. Listen, the Challenge USA filmed before this season, where he was flirting with like Tiffany. Now, we didn't see it a ton on the screen, but that's what it seems to have come out with, like the people were talking about. Then he filmed House of Villains before this show, where if you watch that show, he's flirting with like not one but two women hardcore. Now, listen, you can say like, hey, what's gameplay and what's real? You know, what if people are comfortable with? you know, that's not for me to say. What I can say is I think the average individual, the average woman would be upset with what Bananas was doing. So I hate that this season has turned into, like, old Mariah, you know, like, what a hoe out there, like, macking on James when her beloved future husband, Johnny Bananas, baby daddy on the way, is at home crying about it, when in reality, he's got fucking, you know, his finger up some girl's asshole in the House of Villain House. I'm just so irritated by this. And I really like Mariah coming out of the season, because I really like her for a variety of reasons. But just the fact that she's kind of been plagued with this, you know, like the scarlet letter almost this season, it seems to be, you know, being like, I don't care what people think, I'm going to do what I want to do, makes me like her anymore.
I think, for the record, I think in Challenge USA 2, we saw a scene at the nightclub or wherever where Tiffany was like grinding on Johnny Bananas. So the whole entire like gameplay, like a conversation, goes out the window when you see stuff like that. You know, if you're Johnny Bananas, I think at that point he turns off the TV.
It's what, like, could have, listen, been? Like, don't get me wrong. If I lost Mariah, I'd be upset too, right? So I don't blame Johnny Bananas for being upset, but it is hypocritical if you're going to claim it as like, hey, this person, you know, we were in this like committed relationship and like what she did was terrible and she made me look dumb. It's like, dude, you were on like 2 reality seasons like before this. It just happened that they didn't air, you know, in their entirety, or at least House of Villains didn't. Prior to this. So a lot of times people think that might have been after it, because I think House of Villains started around the time that this started, right? So I think sometimes people think that this House of Villains was after, but it was filmed before.
And don't get it twisted. Like, Johnny Bananas has a history of like dating people for a long time and then like cheating on them afterwards. So it's like he is not like a victim at all when it comes to like majority of these cases. So I don't feel too bad for him. But
it does worry me though. It does worry me about like if we will see Mariah in the future seasons, because Bananas has enough pull that if he truly says, I will not do a challenge with this person, like I will not do a challenge with my ex, that he can make that happen. You know, the last person he dated from the challenge, Morgan Willett, you know, we never saw her again. Now, maybe that was because not anything to do with Bananas. That might have just been because they didn't find her to be particularly the most interesting person to have. But it does worry me as a Mariah fan, a Mariah stan, if you will. I'm a little bit worried about her future in the challenge after this season.
Yep, that's a totally fair point. Okay, so from Strategy Talks, pretty much Jay and Michelle, they're trying to kind of play Godfather and fuck over Nerys, where they want her to kind of be like the fifth last person picked. So then she picks between Olivia and Horacio for like that fourth and final spot and like who gets saved. So that's kind of like the preview. And it seems like James is like kind of saying, listen, I'll do whatever you want, Mariah. And then that turns into a big like focal point for the actual elimination and like the safety chain and all the drama there. So let's just get to the safety chain. So Ed, he picks Emmanuel. Emmanuel picks Berna. Berna goes Colleen. Colleen, Corey. Corey, Michelle. Michelle, Jay. Jay, Mariah. Mariah, James. And this is where it gets fucked, because, you know, poor Zara is like, my boy James, he loves me. He's going to pick me. And James picks Nerys, which, you know, kudos to Mariah, because I got to say why. Like, she has James so whipped. It's actually crazy.
Here's the thing. It's like, people say whipped, but, like, is it whipped or is it just in James's best interest to do so? I think it's in James's best interest. I mean, obviously, Zara probably would have had his back, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Because of the way the format's going to be, like, what can she do to really help him? And another thing is like, and this is something that we always have to talk about when we talk about the challenge, is like the future. Mariah is more likely to be on future seasons. Michelle, you know, all these people that are quote unquote in the majority have a much better chance of coming back on than Zara, in my opinion. You know, Zara is like relatively wealthy. She's from the UK. She doesn't cause any drama. She's got a boyfriend, so she's not hooking up. Listen, she's a great competitor. I'd love to see her back. But I think that the chances of seeing her, as opposed to the other people that he would be screwing over in this plan, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense long term. And I do think that James really does have to not only worry about this game, but also has to worry about the future. If this is something that he wants to continue to do, if he really enjoys it, he needs to make sure he doesn't burn as many bridges. And like people like Horacio and things like that, you can bend those bridges like after a while. But with Zara, it's like, Listen, I think Zora would forgive him eventually if they both came back, but I also think there's less of a chance of her actually being there.
What are you talking about? You just literally said that you're worried about Mariah's future on the challenge because of Johnny. So, why would James put his, stock into Mariah coming back in that scenario over
it's
Zara?
It's more than just Mariah. I said it was the entire alliance. When you look at the alliance and you look at people like Corey and Michelle and Jay.
But don't they want, someone Verna. To, adversity towards that alliance and, a big deal? They're looking for, the next CT. Or I'm not saying James is as good as CT. I'm just saying, a visual appearance. A big dude who's, kind of, a rebel, does what he wants and stuff like that. Wouldn't they want that against a big alliance?
Sure, I mean they would, but the thing about James is he has a physical build. He's pretty, notorious in the UK, comes from a really popular franchise. So if the challenge is airing in the UK anytime soon, that is something that's going to pull in viewers. So there's a lot of things that are going in James's track record. I just think that him pissing off multiple people not only hurts his potential here, but hurts his potential, potentially going into future seasons. I think James just says, listen, I don't want to screw Mariah over. I don't want to put her in a bad spot. She likes Nerys. I'll do that because at the end of the day, my game is attached to Mariah. If I go rogue, I lose the trust in everybody. And even if you go with the Kylans and the Horacios in the world and things like that, listen, those guys, they're going to lose a number of this elimination anyway. Kylan's always going to have Horacio first and vice versa. Zara's probably maybe was going to have you first, but none of the other women will, like Nerys and Olivia. So you just have to kind of look at it from a different perspective. As much as I would love to him of to be able to put Zara in there and have Zara be the one that has to make that decision, I just think that James did make the right decision in doing this.
I disagree. I think James is so down on the pecking list. I think if Jay targets Horacio, there's a good chance that Jay also targets James for the same exact reason of I want to be your number one guy ally, and right now there's James or right now there's Horacio. Let's get rid of those guys. And I think that James is gonna get picked to go into elimination over someone Ed, Corey, one of these guys. So that's why I just.
So we have two sides, right? We have the Michelle and Jay side, and then we have what I will classify as the Nerys, Horacio, and Kylan side. Look at the Michelle and Jay side. We saw what happened, right? He was picked. Now, granted, he was towards the bottom, correct? But you got Nerys, Olivia, Kylan, Horacio, all below him, right?
If wasn't he
the
safe?
Other side wins.
Wasn't he safe? When they had to pick build between Ed, Emmanuel, and him, wasn't he James safe that round? Yeah, he was. Oh. It was Kylan. So no, it was Kylan, James, Michelle, and Mariah who won or whatever.
I know what you're talking about. What I'm saying is look at the way that the safety chain is going, right? He knows with Michelle and Jay, he's got at least maybe a round or two left of safety. And let's say Horacio wins next round. Right. Let's say Horacio wins the challenge. Then how does the safety chain work out? We're going to see Nerys, Kylan, and Olivia safe in some order. And then who are they going to pick? I think there's a good chance that we're going to see James or Mariah get picked because they know that they're on the bottom. I think they're more likely to get picked than, say, the Michelle and Jays, maybe even the Eds, because Ed's already kind of showed his loyalty by picking Emmanuel first. And that's, I think, the more debatable subject is, did Ed make the right decision after last week? I think that they'll pick James because they know James at the bottom. So even if Horacio wins, I think that he's still going to have allies in them, even though they're not really allies in terms of being picked earlier than some of the people like the Emmanuels and the Michelles and the Jays of the world.
I disagree. I disagree. I think both cases.
Well, who do you think they would pick?
I just don't think that James is a high priority for anyone except Mariah. That's about it. And
they have
I
to
just
pick somebody is what I'm saying.
I think they pick Michelle over
who
was
it?
Let me speak. You're yelling, so let me speak. So I'm saying that I think they pick Michelle over picking a lot of these other. I think they pick Michelle over James and Mariah, 100%.
I just think that's crazy. I think Mariah's still close to Nerys. She's still close to Olivia. And I think that they know that Michelle was like controlling the other side. So the only reason that they would keep Michelle, and this may be what you're thinking, but you didn't say so, is that Michelle may just be weaker in the final than, say, somebody like a Mariah or whatever. And maybe they look at it like that. But I think that most likely they'll look at hey, who are our actual friends? And I think they will go with Mariah and James in some capacity. So I do think if Horacio or Kylan or any of these people win next week, I do think that James and Mariah will still be safe. And I think if the other side wins, they'll be safe for at least a week. And then they can decide to make a move next week or so. But I think Ed is the one that I really want to talk about, because I do think that Ed probably shit the bed here. You know, I know it was different circumstances because, you know, James was safe last week, and so was whoever we were talking about earlier. But, like, Ed was in danger last week, and so was Emmanuel. So for them two to be so, you know, okay with, you know, going through the regular pecking order, to me, I think is a bad move for Ed, because I think Ed is more likely to get cut later on because of his physical nature and his athletic ability, especially if he's out there winning dailies against everybody else.
We just have like different viewpoints, I guess. I just don't see like James and Mariah to be in like really any positive position. And I think Ed, Emmanuel, I think these guys are all playing the middle like a lot stronger than like Mariah and James. That's just my.
You don't think that they'll try to? You don't think Michelle and Jay would try to cut Ed if they could, because he keeps winning on these.
No, because I think they all are assuming that he's going to gas out or something like that, or at the final. That's, I think, because he's like a big bulky dude. I think they're assuming that he's going to probably gas out. I bet you they're probably more worried about someone like Emmanuel or like a Corey than like.
Even if it isn't Emmanuel, it's like, well, shouldn't have Emmanuel maybe thought about doing something else? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can go through the whole pecking line and say, hey, Colleen, you've been at the bottom. Like, why didn't you change something up? Like, we can go through pretty much the entire pecking order, because we know that a lot of these people are disposable, with the exception of Michelle and Jay, and I guess maybe Corey as well, because it does seem that like Michelle does have his back. Most of these people are disposable. So you get to the idea where it's like, you know, is it a good move for James? We can debate. If it's a good move for Ed, it's up for debate. But surely somebody has to think that they're going to be in the bottom and they have to make some type of move here. And we didn't see that from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, like, moving forward. Like, if any of these guys, like, start having, like, a revelation, or, like, we got to make a move this week. But for now, though, it's going to be between Horacio and Olivia for the Nerissa pick. And Nerissa goes with Olivia. But I just got to say, I've been a bit harsh on Horacio this season. This is going to be another moment where I'm going to be harsh, because he is, like, so anti-TV, where he's, like, don't pick me. Don't pick me. It's like, Horacio, shut up. This is like an intense moment. We want you to stay silent and, like, you know, let the tension build. I don't know. Listen, was very frustrated.
I know all the fat people that watch this show with cats are like so, you know, on the Horacio bandwagon. They're like, oh, Horacio, that's a real gamer. He really wants to play. It's like, bitch, you can't even touch your toes watching this show on TV. Don't sit there and root on Horacio, right? Horacio's not playing the fucking game. I gotta tell you, for me personally, I don't want to see Horacio back on my screen. I do not. He really doesn't know how to play the game. Listen, he's athletic. You know, there's nothing to decry about his athletic ability. He has the potential to win multiple challenges. But, like, if you are, like, basically volunteering to elimination multiple times, it's just like, I'm just irritated. Like, play the game, right? And maybe he just needs to be humbled. Maybe he needs to go into elimination and lose for this to happen. And I do hope that eventually he will get out, and hopefully some type of luck-based elimination, some kind of crapshoot. Then he'll realize that, hey, listen, it's not just about being fast and agile and strong and all these great attributes that he is. It's like, sometimes you can just lose because you just get the shit in the stick and you get a bad elimination. That is just, I'm so fucking over Horacio.
Yeah, I liked Horacio when he was like the underdog and stuff like that. But this season, it just feels like he's actively making bad moves to put himself back in that underdog position. Like the dude could not talk to Olivia for the whole season because why? I don't know. But he waited until like half the season to have like a conversation with her, apparently, which is kind of like nuts if you think about it. So I don't know. I'm a bit annoyed from Horacio. I wish in that moment, instead of, I guess it's like the noble thing to be like, don't pick me, don't pick me. But I said, like, come on, man.
Like, it's like just obnoxious. Me and you, we shit on like Anissa, right? Because she shows up to these challenges every single time and she's not in proper shape to be able to run a final and do well and, you know, be successful. And we're just like, why do you keep wasting this opportunity? And I feel almost similar to Horacio. It's just different because this is his mental attitude, where I think Anissa has a great, like, mind for the game. She just doesn't have the physical nature. He has the physical nature. He just has a terrible mind for the game. I think for him, he feels like, listen, like, I went into, you know, 6 or 7 eliminations last season and I won, so I don't mind if I go back in. That's just what it is. You know, I'm down to compete. But like I said, I just think he needs to be humbled if he's going to do it. And he needs to be in the position where it's like, listen, if people get me and they vote me in, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to cry about it, but I'm also not going to actively give people reasons to put me in. And, you know, you mentioned he has lack of a social game. He seems to not have any type of hustle in him strategically to be able to try to, like, flip the vote. If you don't worry about yourself, at least worry about your, like, showmance in Nerys, now your girlfriend, your best friend Kylan that's been in multiple times. You know, people like Zara, who if Zara went into, like, a pole wrestle or a hall brawl, you got to think she's going to be going home, right? So she can't win everything. Think about the other people that you care about instead of just yourself.
Yeah, I know folks online really drag Olivia, but I'm really liking her this season. I'm totally down to have her be a mainstay. I think she brings, like, both the mental and, like, physical aspect of, like, what we're looking for like a mainstay for the show. And Horacio just he treats this like it's Ninja Warrior or whatever the hell. So it's like I don't know.
Anyway, truthfully, I feel that way about, like, all the Ride or Die girls. Like, what you just said about Olivia, I personally would say that for Nerys, Mariah, and Raven as well.
That you want them to be mainstays?
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. I love them. They're just awesome. They're the great additions to the show so far. Okay, so yeah, it's so Nerys, while crying, tears, and all that stuff, picks Olivia. It's going to be Kylan, Horacio, and Zara going to elimination. So let's get to the elimination. It's going to be TJ revealing that it's going to be one person going in for elimination this round, which Wyatt, I just want to say something. We might not be too off. I think they might actually have rounds where the two people are going home for elimination based off, like, yeah, the way he phrased it.
I just don't like the purge on top of it. Like, you know, personally, like, I'd be okay if they did, like, a mass elimination where it was, like, three people go home, or it was, like, four people go in and one person leaves or something like that. I don't know. I just don't like the purge. But, yeah, this elimination, do you lose any type of enjoyment because it's in the day? I know that's kind of, like, a weird thing to say. What? But doesn't it seem less intense if it's at night? You know, the eliminations, they're, like, at night, it's in the dark, and they're, like, in the sand. But, like, just going to, like, some backyard, you know, it's just like a shortened daily. Like, to me, it just loses a lot of its luster. It's like imagine if tribal council was, like, in the daytime. Like, it just wouldn't have its you know, its omniance as much as it is. So yeah, I just wasn't feeling it.
Like, during the elimination, during the daytime, he's like a little dog, like, being walked in the background or something like that.
Yeah, I just didn't like the daytime. I just feel like it just made it seem like it almost made me feel like it was 45 minutes left in the episode.
Yeah, that's true. I can see what you mean. I didn't think about it that way, but now that you mentioned it, you do have a point. So the elimination is going to be Race. They didn't really say a name for it. We're just going to say Race. But the idea is that you have to race, like, different checkpoints to solve puzzles and grab a flag. There are three checkpoints overall. So whoever has, like, their three flags first wins. Checkpoint one is going to be, like, you rotate wheels to find 6 3-letter words. Checkpoint two, Sudoku. Three is going to be you have to rearrange discs so that each column is the same color. Now, Wyatt, I wanted to ask you this. Like, which one of these checkpoints are you, like, the most confident in? And, like, which one do you think you're going to struggle a lot?
So in terms of the puzzle, I feel the most confident in the number-based Sudoku. I think that's probably the one that I can – it's not the one I would do the fastest because I think it's easily the hardest, but I think it's the one that I have the biggest advantage over, like, the average person that is going to be competing. But similar to what Kylan said, you know, you just can't get into, like, the mud first. So I would just do the wall and then do the number Sudoku first. And I think that, listen, it's the hardest one. You get it out of the way. You know, you feel like, hey, I'm behind, so I'm going to, you know, put on the jets a little bit more. I just think that that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, I'm the total opposite. I think Sudoku would be, like, the hardest one by far, and the one I wouldn't want to even touch because I would just get so frustrated while doing it that it would just, like, just psych me out or whatever. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the Sudoku one, but I thought it was a welcome challenge for this elimination, which the results of the elimination, Horacio gets his three first, then Kylan, and then Zara loses. Fun fact, when I was first watching this episode, I was kind of, like, fast forwarding, like, through the explanation. So I missed the part where TJ explained that it was going to be one person leaving. So when Horacio won, I was like, wait, does that mean, like, I was like, oh, wait, why are they still going? Like, does that mean that Kylan and Zara are out? And then I had to rewind it. So that was just me fumbling it. But anyway, Zara loses. It's quite a shame because I was really hoping that we would see her back in the house yelling at James, telling him that she's going to block him on Instagram. Which, yeah. Why, when you hear that, I think it's hard to imagine that she's going to be very forgiving postseason.
Is listen, I just think that she's somebody who like is like even at her maddest, that's all she can think about to say. Like that's like the meanest thing she can come across. So I actually think that she's more likely to forgive because like if that's the only thing you can say, you know, this isn't like, you know, I'm so glad that your dad died and I hope your mom ODs like that. I've seen some terrible stuff be said on like reality television and this is not it. So I actually think that I feel the opposite where it's like maybe Zora's a little bit more forgiving because this is like if this is the meanest she can go. And maybe it's not as hard to turn that frown upside down. I will say though, Horacio and Kylan, big fucking pussies. Big fucking pussies. They like they worked with each other, and these are probably the same people that are irritated that like people are helping during like the puzzles and stuff. And it's like, listen, it's not against the rules, right? So like, do what you want to do. It's fine. But like 100-pound woman, that's what you gotta team up against. That's what you gotta do. And like, listen, Zara is somebody that stuck her neck out on the line for you guys. Now, granted, she probably was gonna be in a rough spot regardless, but she chose to, you know, want to compete with guys like Horacio and want to compete with the best. And she stuck her neck out. And that's how you thank her is double teaming it as opposed to be like, hey, you know, best man or woman will survive and the one that's the worst will go home. It's just so irritating to me, especially because it seems like Kylan hypocritically and then Horacio unironically, they seem to kind of preach this narrative of like, you know, fairness and things like that, where it's like, I'm not afraid of competing, and Kylan's like, don't be scared, you know, do what you gotta do. Just like, don't be scared of Zara. Like, I'm just so irritated watching this, Naveed.
Dude, the worst part of it all, the worst part of it is that these motherfuckers have the audacity to do like a group hug at the end of the fucking, like, as if they just did not fuck her and didn't work together. Like, if I was Zara, like, and I wish like one of the production members like would have told Zara or something, so like Zara could have been just like pushed them off when they tried to hug or whatever. Like,
well, she didn't know it. That's the thing. It's like she didn't even know it. She might not even known it until she watched the episode. But this is the equivalent of like if me and you and Jeremy were playing golf. And then me and you just took Jeremy's golf ball and threw it in the opposite direction. That's basically what they did.
I feel so bad for Zara. And I feel bad for Jeremy, too, because JB was, like, very high on the Zara train and thought that Zara could win it all. So I know he's, like, punching the air seeing this elimination.
Well, I agree with the rhetoric. Like, I do think that if she made it to the final, she would be the most likely woman. And I would, in my opinion, I would say the second most likely in total. Like, I'd probably say Horacio and her just because she has such a gas tank on her. She is so able to do things like these puzzles, or at least I thought, is able to be, you know, physical, fit, and every type of thing that you would think that you would see in a final, I thought that she would be able to do. So I definitely understand why he would think that. It's just unfortunate that her journey ends in this way. But listen, Kylan needs to watch out, because the way that these like format safety chain is, there's a good chance that it could be Nerys, Kylan, and Horacio in elimination. And don't think for a second, you want to talk about being fucking whipped like James, you don't think that Horacio won't help Nerys and get out Kylan as well. So Kylan needs to watch his fucking back, bitch.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's gonna be interesting, like, what happens if that elimination goes down. Overall though, Wyatt, what did you think of this elimination? Like, would you be happy to see it come back, or are you just like not a fan?
I did like it because it was like multi-stage. Like, I do think the eliminations I like the most are probably like the headbangers, right? The pole wrestles, the balls in, the hall brawl. But the second half is the one that has multiple components. This felt like a little bit like a Survivor challenge, did it not? Where it's like you have to collect like different puzzle pieces. I do wish they maybe was something at the end with the flags. Like, I don't know what they could have done. Maybe like some type of like flag toss where they had to like throw it like a dart. I don't know. I just think that it really did miss maybe like a final equalizer. But regardless, I thought it was a good competition and I liked this. And I really wish they would do this more in the elimination where it was like multi stages that people have to do.
I know it's I like this elimination a lot. I'm just very like tired of all the puzzles, but I do like this elimination. I thought it was fun. I'm excited to see if they could like bring back like that three-person elimination where it was like Nelson, Corey, and like Shane, where they had to like pull on like a rope while it was like all centered and like reach their own pole. I think that elimination would be awesome. But I'm just not sure if they can like make it work where it's like fair, because you might have like a girl there too, or like two girls, one guy, or like two guys, one girl. So it's just like a bit like, I don't know, like what the logistics would look like if they decide to go that route.
I do think though that if we do get, you know, three men or three women, I do think that they will pull an audible and make it physical in some capacity, like a three-person pole wrestle or something. I definitely think they will do that, but it's something that they can't really prepare because they don't know what's going to happen. So I know you hate the puzzles, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see them again, just because of the nature of the, you know, equalizing type of platform they have to do. I think the most physical thing that we can get when it's men against women is something where you have to like do with your like a percentage of your body weight, where you're like holding up like 30% of your body weight or something like that, where it like is supposed to affect men and women quote unquote equally because it's a percentage of their body weight.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Either way, though, I'm excited to see like what eliminations that they get. That they do. I hope they get creative with it, but my guess is you're right, and we're going to see a lot of puzzles. But yeah, so it's time for the preview. I don't know, like it's just a lot more fighting. It seems like Berna is like starting to fight with people, and there's like crying, and like Olivia said like she hates this game, I think, or something like that. At the club. I don't know. It seems like a whole mess. Like, was there anything that stuck out to you for the preview?
Yeah, it looks like Berna and Kylan are going to, like, Berna's going to, like, be in Kylan's face about something. I don't know what. I think that Nerys is going to be talking to Berna when she talks about punching her. Because I'm trying to think of, like, who else. Because, like, I don't think Nerys is going to say that, like, for no reason. I think she's going to say it because somebody tried to, like, test her or, like, had some snarky remark. And I don't think Michelle would do that. And I don't think Colleen would do that. And I think that really just leaves me to Berna. Although, like, it could be Corey. Like, it could just be, like, a man. You know, I don't know why. It has to be a woman. Like, Nerys could easily like threaten Corey just as much, I guess. Or Jay. You know, I could see Jay maybe having a smart mouth or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Which, by the way, I just want to say again, like, Nerys is like amazing. I know we like just like glanced over her fight with Jay, but I just love the way she defended herself, and like it was just it was awesome. I'm so glad we have her on our TVs.
The Jay argument was so unjustified from him, because you can really argue that Nerys was the real glue of that, because she probably had more connections that were invisible, right? Like, she probably could have protected, you know, Michelle and Jay if Horacio did win power and things like this. And I think with, you know, Asaf, like, yeah, Asaf maybe went under the radar and people didn't expect him to be with that group, but I think Nerys probably did more to protect it in the whole. So yeah, I loved her standing up for herself. And listen, I mentioned this last time me and you talked. It's just so crazy that she went years and years. Ari the One, X on a Beach, took her so long to get this challenge call. And it really took just a unique format and a good relationship with Nelson for that actually to prosper. So I mean, we really could have been getting this for like 10 seasons now.
Yeah, it's really a shame, but I'm just glad that we finally have her on the TV screen. Even last week where she went to try to hug, I think it was Jay, but then Jay was like, no, that's still my dog. It's like, what are you, Jay? Who are you, Jay? Like, who are you? Like, 100 pounds soaking wet. Like, I think Nerys could take you on a physical elimination. Like, why are you trying to act so tough?
Yeah, it's like, you could be like, hey, just, no, thank you.
Yeah, or just like, give a hug or something. It's not like a really like, oh my God, it's so stupid. Anyway, okay, so we're just going to wrap it up here. Wyatt, is there anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, just stay tuned. Reality Daily. Our social media handle is at Reality Daily Pod. Me and Naveed, right after this, we're covering the Traitors episode 5 over in the U.S. Has some challenge alumni on there, Johnny Banana, CT, and Trailer on the season. So make sure you're catching up if you haven't already and listen to our podcast on that.
Yep. So thank you for listening, everyone, and see you next week. Take it easy.